I'm Kevin Power, and this is Sascapes, the podcast featuring stories of arts, culture, and heritage in Saskatchewan. Saskatoon Community Youth Arts Programming, otherwise known as SCIAP, was established in 2001, addressing the social, economic, and educational need of at-risk youth using art and culture as a primary tool. The Urban Canvas program addresses these issues through a unique employment opportunity for these young folks as they gain a better understanding of who they are and how to thrive as they move forward in their lives. Darrell Leachman, SCIAP's executive director, and I have kept in touch since we first met when I recorded episode 30 entitled Remembering Alvin. Darrell extended an invitation to me to spend some time with some of the past and present participants of Urban Canvas. You'll hear from Jane and Jordan, two of the Urban Canvas success stories whose lives were changed immeasurably as a result of this opportunity. You'll also hear from Bree and Lisa, both current participants of Urban Canvas, and how they found their way to SCIAP and their hopes for their futures. On November 20th of this year, 2015, Urban Canvas had its grand opening with a public showing held at the SCIAP Gallery. I think the turnout exceeded everyone's expectations. I attended the opening and captured some of what Darrell had to say in his speech that day. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, it's certainly nice to be back at SCIAP in Saskatoon. That's the Saskatoon Community Youth Arts Programming, a fantastic program which SAS Culture supports. And I'm glad to pop in on a program that was canceled, I think, about 5 years ago, yeah, and now is back, called the Urban Canvas Project. And I'm here with some of the people that work at SCIAP and work with the students that are participating in the podcast. And my first guest is Jane. Hey, Jane.
Hello.
So let's begin by telling me what your role in general is at SCIAP.
Okay. So I've been working at SCIAP for 5 years. My first 8 months was as a participant of the Urban Canvas Project in 2010, 2011. And then after that, I kind of just stuck around quite a bit, and they offered me a shift and drop-in. And since then, my positions have grown exponentially. So I do public speaking, I do some social media, PR, I do drop-in, I work hands-on with at-risk youth, I teach paid classes, I teach in the DeBay Center, the psych ward. Mm-hmm. I'm working with the Urban Canvas currently, I book the gallery, do face painting, murals, so I have my foot in every door in this place.
Do you sleep?
I do sleep. Not as much as I should, but I've never been much of a sleeper.
So. What's your background? You're an artist.
So I grew up in Saskatoon. Always lived here. I grew up with my mom and my three siblings. I had a pretty turbulent period in my life, in my formative years, and then also carried into my teens. I was into a lot of self-destructive behaviors, really had a lot of self-loathing and substance abuse problems and that sort of stuff, and also just the everything that I did was self-destructive for a long time. And then in 2010, in June, I woke up after blacking out again because I was drinking so heavily, and I just decided I'm done. And I don't know why, but that morning I was just done. And I quit my job that day. I was waitressing. And then a few months later, I heard about the Urban Canvas Project. I always drew a lot as a child. I kind of fell out of it in my teens. I took some art classes in high school because they were easy enough to pass or blow off. And then I didn't really have that much skill in drawing until I began at the Urban Canvas Project in that intensive beginning period where we'd work on every single fundamental skill. So the urban canvas really gave me a chance to hone my skills, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. How long was the program at that point?
The program was 8 months, and we started with really basic stuff, drawing, working on shading, getting kind of structure, form. We did tons of different practices. And then we slowly went into color theory, into painting. We did large replications. We worked on several murals as a group. And then in the end, we kind of began to work on our own projects and our own kind of composition and making up images. We also simultaneously worked on ourselves. So we worked on healthy boundaries, overcoming abuse and trauma, working on addiction problems, all sorts of things like that. And did a number of workshops. We did artist visits, artist talks, kind of just like immersed ourselves in using art as a tool to like overcome a lot of the things that we had gone through.
Right. Were you at a place in your life where it was safe enough for you to participate in the program, or could you have been in a bad place? Like if you had started this kind of a program when you were in that bad place that you were talking about, would you have been accepted? Would it have been as effective?
The place I was at before, like the years before that, I started doing drinking and drugs and stuff at quite a young age, and I had periods throughout my teenage years where I would stop for a while for whatever reason and kind of fall back into it. So before I quit drinking was definitely my lowest point that I ever hit, because I was just in a group of people that was really, we were all kind of self-destructive, and I realized now what I was doing was I was just self-medicating to escape my mental pain, you know, like anything, if I could drink enough so that I would pass out, then I could have some peace, that kind of thing. So I don't think I would have been able to participate in the urban canvas because I wasn't ready. And I don't know what happened to me on that morning when I woke up and was just literally done. I was like, I had some alcohol with me, I threw it out, and I just knew that day I had to quit my job because it kind of went hand in hand, like working night shifts as a waitress was complementary to my substance abusive kind of self-destructive lifestyle, right? Because you're kind of surrounded by people who...
Well, it's the culture.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And no one's going to question it. They're going to question if you don't want to drink, then what's wrong with you? Or why don't you want to party? Or it used to be fun and you get that kind of peer pressure. And quitting drinking was quite hard because I still maintain this group of friends and they're all lovely people, but they all had their own issues. And I got ragged on a lot. You used to be cool. What happened to you? You think you're better? That kind of stuff. So that was quite difficult. And once I got into the urban canvas, I was surrounded by some really fabulous mentors and then a group of people who were all kind of at a crossroads and we were ready to move forward.
Right.
So a few months into it, I kind of stopped hanging out with those friends as much because I really wanted to work on myself. For the first time ever, I had this goal a little bit just to actually want to live life instead of just waiting to die or poisoning myself or slowly killing myself.
Do you think that there would have been another way? Well, it's purely hypothetical, but would there have been another way to get there or get to where you're at now had art not played a place in it? Or do you feel like just sort of the genetic makeup that is Jane lends itself to an artistic outlet, and through that, then the healing flows?
So I think that I've always been creative, and I think when people fall into a really dark place, it's hard to get in touch with those sort of things that are healing to us. I definitely believe that I was meant to be here. I was meant to get into the program, and it just happened at the right time. Like, I had been employed for about, I guess, from June till September, and then I got into the project at the very end of September 2010. And I don't know where I would be without it. I knew at that time in my life, though, that I was ready to move forward. And I think having this group of people, watching them kind of grow as well, really helped me stay on that path. So I have no idea what would have happened, but I was at a place where I really wanted change, and this place kind of nurtured me and helped me grow. It gave me a safe environment where I had some really fantastic mentors and role models to look up to, and then a group of people who were all kind of in a dark and scary place for whatever percent of their life, or just like in a place where they really needed to change, and we were all motivated to do it. So it was nice. I mean, there were days where it was awful because you put a group of people together for 40 hours a week. And this isn't like a job where you're sitting at your own cubicle or you're in your own station. You're right with each other all the time. And a lot of strong personalities. There were days that were pretty crazy, right? But overall, by the end of the project, like, we were so close and we had just gone through so much together. It was the first time in my life that I felt like I could do something. Completing paintings in that program were some of the first things that I ever felt like I actually did.
And were the paintings reflective of your life, your background?
So I was doing lots of experimental stuff because I had just begun, and I did some kind of therapeutic pieces, which I look at them now and technically I think they're funny, but I did one piece that was called You Probably Think This Painting's About You. And early in my life, I kind of lost my voice. Like, I couldn't speak up to people. If someone did something wrong to someone else, I could usually say something because I don't like to watch people be treated unjustly. But if someone did something to me, I would often just hold it in. And I kind of had this really warped sense of self where I was very abusive to myself. And then when other people were, I just felt like it was what was meant to happen. So I did this piece called You Probably Think This Painting's About You. And I did a big sort of eyeball in the center, like staring at the viewer. And then I went through my friends and family and people that I knew and just thought of things that I wanted to say but never could. And some of them are very simple, like the best part of being with you is seeing your mom. And then some of them are really deep and heavy. And for me, it was very therapeutic, but it was terrifying for people to read it. And I called it that because I knew everyone I knew would be like, where's mine? Where's mine? You know? And I tried to do ones that they wouldn't quite know. So I did some stuff like that. I painted a lot of females. I've always liked drawing women and people, specifically women. And my practice, like my personal art, whenever I do a show that's just kind of free, it kind of tends to be a little dark. Or I like to focus on portraits of women and try and now I try and encase different emotions. I don't put a lot of context in telling the artist or telling the viewer what they're looking at. I like them to look at it and see what they feel. But then it was still, I was very young and just beginning to paint. So I did stuff that I was interested in, but I've definitely come a long way since.
You said, a while back, you said it, when you have this kind of, this dynamic, of a group together for a job like this, you said the word job versus school. This is not a school program. This is you're paid when you're going through this program?
Yes. So you're paid to go to the Urban Canvas Project minimum wage. I think it's 35 or 40 hours a week for 8 months. And that is a essential and crucial part of the program. Without the funding, there's a lot of people in the groups who have children, who have homes, who have bills, who have been living on their own for a long time. It's not school. Like, these, it's the people who go to Urban Canvas Project probably can't afford to just go to school. Or else, like my case, when I was 20, there was no way I could have gone to school because I didn't have the grades for it and I didn't have the maturity for it or the confidence in myself that I could do it. I thought I would never go to university. After the Urban Canvas, I went to school, and for the past 4 years, I've been going part-time while working full-time or working a couple jobs and paying for my school. But I got accepted as a mature student, writing a letter how I had changed since high school because my marks were just horrendous.
What are you studying?
Fine arts.
Of course.
And I also take a lot of courses in the social sciences, sociology, psychology. I really love people. I find people so interesting, so I kind of couple it with that. And my passion really is in using art as a tool to help people heal. Like, I like teaching art, but I really like to teach people things that they kind of show people what they're capable of. Because for me, just being able to create something that I was kind of happy with, like, I always, you know how we're our own worst critics often? I was definitely like that. Like, I remember being at a therapist when I was young and her telling me to say, "I love you," to yourself in the mirror. And I'd laugh or like sooner throw up than I could say it. And I was so harsh on myself. But being able to do something you're kind of proud of, it's just this tiny little spark, having these positive role models and stuff. And then from there, I decided that I wanted to grow. When the Urban Canvas was wrapping up, I set some goals and they were pretty simple. They were be happy, continue to make art, and learn to love myself. And it took me about 2 years from the end of the Urban Canvas till the first time I actually said I love you to myself, since I was, I think, probably the first time in my life. And it was a pretty crazy day, but it was just like so beautiful to actually be there.
You know, you're not supposed to stop any of those three for the rest of your life.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's an ongoing process.
I know. And yeah. I made those my goals, like being happy and growing are my goals always. And loving yourself is crucial because you need to love yourself so you get the respect you deserve and that sort of stuff. And I think you constantly have to shift the weight of what you need to grow or what you need to change or what you need to be happy all the time. And it's just kind of finding that formula as you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if the goal is to totally get it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think you ever get to a point where you're like, this is it, ding, like,
no.
Then you're done.
No.
I don't think that ever happens. I feel like if you're not growing, you're kind of, I don't want to say dying, but if you're not learning and growing, and maybe you are dying.
Or living a life not fully realized.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can't just get to a point where you're good. Once you stop, once you settle, I feel like you continually grow upward. Or you go up and down, but the point is to find your journey and polish things out as they come, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to know. I mean, for me, I always think I can't imagine what it would be like to not have art, not have expression in your life. Yet I don't want to be judgmental and say that everybody needs some sort of artistic outlet to flourish and to find themselves, but I can't imagine what I don't know what it is to find that path in another way. This is all I've ever known.
Yeah, so I think the way I explain it to people, if they ask me kind of if they're in a rut, I say you need to think of your mind, your body, and your soul, and find as many things that you can that feed those things.
Yeah.
So whether it's fishing or playing cards with your grandma or cooking or having a bath, you need to have those things that make life worth living, right?
And all of those things, fishing and having a bath, are spending time with self.
Yeah.
Art is spending time with self.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the common denominator.
That's what it is. It's finding those things where, so a really good friend of mine, that's where he feels most at peace is when he's fishing. The world stands still and time's so beautiful and he's so focused on this mission and he gets the same thing that I get from art. So I think it's just finding a place where you feel like yourself, where you feel like you wouldn't want to change anything,
yeah.
Sort of. And also I feel like a lot of it is really being busy with your hands, because I feel like when our hands are busy, our mind can actually think. When we're thinking too much, sometimes we can't even think at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. This brain never stops.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah. What's it like mentoring and working with the participants of the Urban Canvas program that are upstairs right now? Having been through it, do you see yourself in any of these kids? Well, they're not kids.
I do and I don't. And it's very personal for me. I'm an emotional person. So I get that kind of like heart swelling tear feeling often, because I'll just think back like, and even think of myself younger and just think of where I was and how I was so scared and so unsure of myself and just the way that everything was scary. But to see them here and trying and ready to move forward and taking chances and growing, and it's only been a month and they've already grown a lot, and you kind of start to get to know people and kind of think about things that might be helpful for them. It's been really wonderful.
Yeah.
Like I've worked with Eagle's Nest, which is a group of group homes for 4 years, and they're a younger group. So they're anywhere from 9, I think the youngest one I've worked with was about 9 to 21. And I've worked with them for 4 years, and I work with them twice a week because they have schools and they come here. And it's been really great watching a lot of these kids and kind of helping them. And you don't get through to everyone because not everyone likes art. But what I do is I try and expose them to as many forms of art. You know, you might not like drawing, but maybe you like sculpting, or maybe you like spray paint and stencils, or maybe you like charcoal. So it's just about kind of opening doors and exposing people to things, because maybe they'll find something that they can be, and then showing them techniques so they're proud of themselves. I think believing in yourself is so essential to growth. It's really hard to do, especially if you've come from a past where you've been beaten down, if you've gone through trauma, if you've experienced a lot of things that are kind of dark, the adversity. It's hard to believe in yourself when you get to in such a dark place, but it's so crucial to be in a point where you can say, you know, I'm capable. I'm meant to do this. I can do this. I'm valuable. It takes a lot of work, but it's just so important.
Do the participants of this year's program know your story?
I let them in on a little bit of it in the beginning, but I think it kind of comes more out. On the first day, Daryl wanted me to sit down and kind of give them a big synopsis, but I just gave them the beginning, the kind of basics of it. And then it comes up in conversation. I feel like it's more organic that way than kind of just sitting down and saying, you know, like a presentation, I am Jane, and this is what I... So I prefer to just kind of bring things up as they are needed.
Right. What would you say to the younger you, because there are younger yous out there, and because podcasts are such a great outlet for a younger demographic, what would you say to someone who's in the place now that you were then, who can't access something like the Urban Canvas program because of where they are geographically? There may not be anything like that. What can you do for yourself while you're finding a group of people?
Hey, it's Kevin. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just a quick reminder that the SaskApes podcast is available for free on your favorite podcast app, or you can stream it from your browser. Check out the show notes for the link. On the SaskApes homepage, you'll notice something new under the logo called SaskApes Plus. You can't miss it. There's a big button saying support with a heart icon next to it. I'd love it if you could click on that button and help keep this podcast series going. When SaskApes launched in May 2014, it was the first podcast in the province celebrating arts, culture, and heritage. In fact, you'd have been pretty hard-pressed to find any Saskatchewan podcasts. So I'd like to think that we paved the way. It's been because of your support that this podcast is now in its 9th year. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
I think it's really important to realize that traumas and things you've gone through, to learn how to heal and let go from them, which is so difficult to do, but very possible. I think it'd be nice to tell myself that you're okay just the way you are. You don't have to be so obsessive about everything and constantly bashing yourself down. Like, I don't understand how there's people in this world who make us feel so low. And it makes me really sad that for so much of my life, I was in such a sad, dark place. And all of my anger went inwards instead of outwards. I just think it's really important to learn to start small. So start with small things that make you feel good. Try not to turn negative, positive things into negative things, like compliments, for example. If someone gives you a compliment, it's because they're coming from a place where they want to say something nice to you. And by saying no, or turning it into something negative, or saying the opposite of what they're saying, you're taking this beautiful gesture and you're slamming it to the ground.
Right.
And both of you feel bad now.
Right.
So it's just those little tiny things that you can start with. Smile. Like, for me, I like to smile at people. Because either they smile back and then we kind of have this moment where this world is very isolating, and technology, even though it brings us closer, it also really pushes us further apart. So by smiling at people on the street, I get a moment with a stranger that's kind of beautiful.
And I probably would add to what you said, find at least one person you can trust.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do it alone.
It is hard to do it alone. It's also, I think it really comes down to those body, mind, and soul. If you can find things that feed those things, there's some that overlap. Like listening to podcasts and going for a walk, you can feed your brain while you're exercising, right? Mm-hmm. It's about finding these simple things in life. It's also trying to find things that aren't expensive, because you don't want, when you're having a really hard time, and often that coincides with not having money, unfortunately, all of your vices or all of your escapes to be run by money. So if you can find like a library you like to go to, or a bench you like to sit on, or a gallery, or different places you like to be, whether they're alone or with people, you just need to find things that feed your mind, body, and soul, and balance them. Look at what you're missing and fill it. And it sounds hard. I think the other thing is always keep going. Like, Of course we have bad days. Of course I have days where I don't want to get up, but I make myself get up. And maybe that day all I do is get up, make my bed, and make myself breakfast. Mm-hmm. But I do something, because I know when you're caught in a depression, it's so hard to do anything. But we really need to be rewarding to ourselves for getting out of bed that day, for doing those small things, because being a human being is a very strange experience, and you can only truly learn from your own past and the things you go through, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think loving yourself is what I'd like to tell myself. You're okay. I love you. You need to learn how to love yourself, you know? Things are hard right now, but they'll be okay. And eventually you'll get to a place when even when you're not okay, you're still okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think one more thing is kind of challenge yourself. Like, oral presentations or speaking in public was one of my biggest fears. Like, it freaked me out so bad.
Yeah.
And when we had our mini first reception in this gallery, Daryl asked me to read something in front of the audience, and I did, and it wasn't personal, so it wasn't a big deal, but I stuttered and it was hard, but I pushed myself and I did it. Mm-hmm. And then for our grand finale at the Mendel Art Gallery, there was 300-400 people. There was a bunch of really important people there. It was a big thing. There was press. And I had written a speech about how this program had really affected me and how it had changed my life and how my life was starting to, I was just like a little bud, you know, just peeking above the soil, that sort of thing. And I made myself get up and read it. And it was terrifying, but afterwards it felt so great. And I've done things like where I've been flown to Winnipeg and spoke in front of 500 people. I do podcasts, I do TV, radio, all that kind of stuff now. I think it's important to push our boundaries in a healthy way. Because if you continually stay in your boundaries, you'll grow slowly. But if you step into a new place, you'll grow in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Like, it's better to try something and fail than it
Absolutely.
Is to not try at all. So, I don't know.
I think Einstein failed quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, all the great successes, they had millions of failures,
yeah,
I'm sure.
You get nowhere in life with continual successes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stepping out of your comfort zone, even though it's scary, it's when we grow the most. Like, drawing in front of people was just terrifying because I wasn't artistically strong. Like, a lot of this group, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. Just from the, you know, they have that natural thing, or they've been honing their skills already. And I was so scared to let anyone see. So, but I did it. And where I am now versus then is just amazing. And I'm so grateful for everything I've gone through.
And now you get to pass it on.
Yes. Now I get to be the person that I needed when I was younger.
That's so great.
Yeah.
What more can you ask?
It's quite lovely.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, I'm with Jerry now. Hey, Jerry.
Hey.
I have it from a reliable source that you actually went through this program a few years ago.
Yeah, I was there.
Right, so how many years? 5 years ago, was it?
Yeah, 2010-11.
Okay, so can you remember where you were at in your life just prior to finding out about this program? I mean, what were the circumstances that brought you here?
Before Urban Canvas, I was a little bit lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly. I knew I didn't want to do construction anymore. I tried construction and it didn't work out. I wasn't happy and I was good at it, but just it wasn't as fulfilling as, I don't know, as I expected more for myself. I was told to aim high and dream big. And so I wanted to do that. So I figured if I wanted to do university or something,
mm-hmm.
and start using my mind more than my hands.
Mm-hmm.
But then before I even did that, I saw posters for Urban Canvas, and I've known tons of people that have gone through the program before me.
Oh, how were you in those circles to know those people?
Just the crowd I hung out with.
Okay.
I used to hang out with a lot of kids that at high school that were into drugs and alcohol, and I wasn't in the best place in my life too. I think mm-hmm. I like quit smoking weed the first week within Urban Canvas, and I stayed clean for the whole time after that.
But from an artistic, did you have an artistic background at all? I mean,
I've been drawing ever since I can remember, and I never liked painting, but I just knew I loved to draw, and I just love the idea of Urban Canvas, and I was here every day. I showed up early. I sometimes stay late, and then I'd come in on the weekend once in a while, and I didn't miss a day, I think.
You probably didn't have that enthusiasm with construction, I'm guessing.
Not nearly the same.
Right.
Yeah.
And through the program, which would have been, what, 36 weeks?
About there.
Yeah. So what was the journey like for you? What did you discover during that process that you might not have known about yourself prior to coming to the program?
Just gave me a place to be comfortable and to have a range, like, and just to study it and like earn while I'm learning, and mm-hmm. like, because they pay you minimum wage to be there.
Right.
And then like just have other artists available to you and to give their opinions, other artists that do make it as a living mm-hmm. or do make art as for their living.
Right. And did you find that because of where you had been prior to coming to the program, was the drawing that you were doing particularly reflective of your psychological journey leading into the program? I mean, were you getting crap out through your drawing? What were you expressing? What were you trying to say through your drawing?
I'm pretty technical, so I like to find out formulas and like study things and like, but yeah, I do.
It almost sounds like you're an architect.
Well, the construction helps too.
Right. Part of that.
Yeah. Right. Like if I want to learn how to draw a figure, then I like to follow proportions.
Okay.
And,
right.
Like study some of the masters and like learn how they do it so I can be almost as good as ever, like how to get to that point.
Right.
Or I don't think
you continue drawing now?
Now that I'm teaching mm-hmm. with SkyUp, I don't draw as much as I'd like to.
Okay.
But I'm still creating every day. I paint at least a few times a week and
Tell me about the work that you're doing here with SkyUp. I mean, that's a pretty huge. Did you start working for SkyUp after you finished the Urban Canvas program?
They offered me a job.
Huh.
That's
pretty great.
Like, yeah, right away. And I wasn't able to accept it at the time. And I figured I wanted a break from painting. So I didn't take the position, and I went traveling for a bit, and I visited my family. I went to Eastern Europe and lived in Bulgaria for 3 months. My sister had a place there, and
is
I
that
saved
your
up.
Family background? You got your heritage goes all
no,
the way back.
No, my sister just and her boyfriend just picked a spot to start a new business, and Bulgaria was one of the only countries that didn't have a business. So I had an opportunity to go live there for really cheap, and I decided to do that instead. Uh-huh. And I studied art a bit there. Went to art museums, and I got to see Europe a bit.
Right.
This is my second or third time there, and
so
I until that time I tried to find other ways to find healing and growing, like to continue my journey. Like, I learned how to cook and I studied yoga and I don't know, I just wanted to keep the positiveness going,
so. Right, and boy, a long way from construction.
Yeah.
Right. And then you came back and then you started working after traveling for a bit?
I kind of branched away from SkyUp for a bit because I still wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
Okay.
But I was applying for new jobs. I was trying new things out. I applied for one job and I asked for a reference letter from my boss at SkyUp. And it was one of the best reference letters I've ever had. Or it is the best reference letter I've ever had. And she just made me feel like I'm missing out. It was like a slap to the face. Like, I was like, dude, why did I stop going? And then I started coming back. I was here every day. I was painting. And then they gave me an art show. Mm. They let me have an art show because I was painting so much here when I wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I had an art show and then they started giving me classes to teach and I started working drop-in and I started doing commissions and it just, what I'm doing still to this day, 2 years later. Like,
what are you teaching here?
I'm one of the Aboriginal art leaders. I try to do workshops that are focused on like old Aboriginal styles of art, like, or even current. Like, we do workshops on dream catchers and sewing, leather sewing, and like using beading and different techniques, even like drawing on old scrap pieces of paper. And I don't know, I'm still trying to come up with ideas. So I want to.
I mean, this is a drop-in center in nature, right? So are you finding that the First Nations kids that are coming here off the street working with you are developing an appreciation of their heritage, their cultural heritage through the art that you're teaching them? I mean, do you sense that's why they're here?
The drop-in's different from the programs we teach, but so I can't really say about drop-in. Drop-in, okay. I see people that do get a lot out of it. And then,
like, okay, so you're the pro. There are other programs other than the Urban Canvas program.
Oh, there's.
So the program you're teaching, is it just one singular program?
It's Cultural Connections.
Okay.
And we do programming with different organizations, like. I don't know if I can like say names.
Yeah, sure.
Like EGADS and White Buffalo, Bridges, Dream Brokers. So I do a workshop. I do two workshops a day sometimes.
Okay.
Not every day, but
right.
Today I'm doing three.
Right.
Yeah.
And so are these mostly First Nations kids that are taking your workshops?
Depending on the location and. Yeah, if it's in their city, it's mostly Aboriginal kids.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of them do take an interest. And usually it's the ones that want to be here that do show the interest.
Like, right.
When they're forced to come here, a lot of the times I don't see any interest. But I still try to incorporate other life skills into it too. Like just listening, paying attention, and not interrupting. You know, like just being part of the group instead of like secluding themselves.
Right. I guess I'm always fascinated that the younger demographic are interested in connecting with their roots.
Oh, big time. I feel like it's knowledge that needs to be shared and like people do connect with who they are through their culture and like they find out where they come from and they find out more about themselves and like what their people used to do and why they do the things they do today. It's all connected, I find.
Right. And do you see participants of your workshop changing? Like, do you have great success stories that you can share of people that really came here in a bad space that you've seen really transform themselves? Or do you get to work with the participants long enough to see them through that kind of a journey?
Usually every semester, or it's like school, right? So we only teach during school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get a new group every like turn around or whatever, so I don't get to keep working with the same kids over and over, but I do see people come in here that keep coming back and they're always happy to be here and they I don't know, life is usually pretty good for them. They're mm-hmm. always glad to be here and have the mm-hmm. space available to them. And I'd always find that even though I don't get to see it, I know somewhere down the line somebody gets something out of it mm-hmm. because I've heard it. People say, oh, thank you so much, you know, and like.
Plus you're walking billboard for the success of the programs at SkyApp.
And I try to be, yeah. You know, it helps and yeah. people do see it and they want to see the same growth in themselves. And yeah, it goes back and forth that way.
It's hypothetical, I realize, but could you imagine getting to the place where you're at now without artistic expression? I mean, are you pretty much hardwired for self-discovery through artistic expression?
Nowadays, yeah, now that I'm here almost every day.
Right.
And I have to be here, and I don't see where I would be without it.
Like, but even when you're traveling, you didn't let it go. I mean, it was much part of your travel as anything, right?
Exactly, yeah. Like I said, I've been doing it since I remember, and part of the reason I started coming back here is because I knew I could do art for this many hours a day, and like it wasn't going to stop me. And like,
right? Who influenced you artistically when you were growing up? Who sort of lit that spark of artistic interest and inspiration?
I don't know. It just was always there. My dad used to manage a comic book store, so I used to draw the comics. I used to watch the cartoons.
Right.
My mom was always super supportive. She always buy me sketchbooks and pencils and this and that. And then whenever I took art classes, the only class I would excel at or actually like go to and commit to a lot of the science and social and math, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. I just draw on every test anyway. So I wouldn't even finish an answer half the time. So, and a lot of those high schools, not a lot of them, but I've heard high school teachers be like, if you're not going to memorize this assignment, you might as well go flip some burgers. Well, I'm not doing that now. So that's why I say dream big, aim high, reach for your goals.
I'm guessing construction isn't in the picture for you anytime soon again.
I do still enjoy it.
Do you?
I can help people out here and there. But
on your own terms?
On my own terms. Right. I refuse to do it outside in the winter, 50 below in Saskatchewan.
Right. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
With steel-toed boots on.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I have it on from a reliable source, namely your cousin, that this place changed you hugely. So she knows a little bit about your journey. Would you say that the person you were before you first walked in the doors of SkyApp and the person you are now are two completely, has it been a radical shift for you? Are you in a much better place?
It's crazy to imagine. I feel like myself now. I have found my voice and I can do what I want and be comfortable with my emotions and myself and my own skin. I have confidence and I can do work and not be afraid to take the next step and just want to see the results instead of being, I don't want to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And like just accomplishing goals. That's the main thing, is like having goals and reaching those goals. And art is one of the ways I do those.
Right. Yeah. So the work that's being done here is not just on an artistic level. You're also working on life skills with these guys.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
We're pretty lucky to have this in a city.
Yeah. The people I work with today are like some of the people I'm closest to because they have helped me so much. And because we work together so closely sometimes and we know so much about each other and we have to express that too through our art and in life.
And we want the funding to continue because we want the doors to stay open, right?
Oh, there's so many people that come in through here now.
Really? How many people do you think coming through here in a day?
I think, I can't say per day, but I think it's different every day, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it averages like from at least 15 or more, just maybe double that or triple sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how many people come through here every year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it just helps one person, which it does, it helps many people. Mm-hmm. And it's just, just keep it going. And I love it. I love it being here. I want to stay here so I can give that gift that was given to me. And that's what I was always told. When you have a gift, you should share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be art or compassion or whatever, just opening the door to someone who needs it, you know?
Could you have ever imagined you'd be in this headspace had you rewound time 7-8 years ago, that you could be talking about yourself in these terms?
No, not even close. I was very isolated. I am an introvert by nature, but I push myself to be something I'm not all the time here. I have to, even though I don't always feel it, I have to believe it sometimes. And especially when I'm working with young people, I'm not always in the greatest mood, but I still have to put on a good show or at least make them feel like I want to be here and that there's a purpose for all of this.
Well, from one introvert to another, power to the introverts.
Yes,
we're great people, we introverts.
Good thinkers.
Good thinkers, that's right. We recharge by thinking. Thanks so much for sharing a bit about your story.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure thing.
Talking to me.
Now I'm up here in the creative space that is the Urban Canvas program, and you are?
I'm Bree Dodd.
Bree, and what are you, first of all, what are you making here that we're looking at?
I'm making a paper replica of our residence here in Saskatoon.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, cutting lots of paper.
Right, no kidding. tell me, when, sorry, we're having candies handed out now. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks.
Jerry's come with the snacks. So you started this program 5-6 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you find out about Urban Canvas?
There was a documentary here in Saskatoon called A Chance to Speak, and they had little, I guess, kind of business card things that said, looking for a job, want to make up to $1,400 a month, blah, 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 blah. Do what you love, call. And then it gave, I guess, Daryl's number. And so I called it the next day and got an interview set up. And then came in, did that about a week later. And then heard back a couple days later that I had got accepted. So, yeah. And, I didn't have anywhere to stay, and so I stayed in the shelter for a little bit, and then I got into a group home luckily here for, and so me and my daughter were staying there for a little while, and I was trying to find work, but it's hard to find work when you're young. Everybody wants to hire people and like 25 plus, and so I wasn't having very much luck, and so that this would be an awesome opportunity.
Now, you obviously had an artistic background.
Yeah, I always loved doing art, but I never really pursued even much of a hobby in it. It was kind of just something that I did in school, but I loved it in school. But I hadn't really done it outside of school. And so, yeah. But now I guess it's what I do all day.
And you're making this intricate house. So, I mean, you're obviously, is that your sort of thing artistically? Is architectural kind of expression?
No, it's not.
But look at the way you even peeled the orange. It's architecture.
I know, apparently it's my hidden talent.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Yeah.
And so how are you feeling now that you're these many weeks into the program? What have you benefited from the most so far?
I think what I've benefited the most from it was the decision to come back to Saskatoon was not an easy one for me, just because I have a lot of history, I guess, in Saskatoon, and I didn't think I would ever set foot back in Saskatoon. And so to be able to be here and then be doing art every day, it's almost like, as I guess, a kind of therapy during this time to help me kind of deal with being back in Saskatoon. And so as things come up, then I'm able to express it through being here and through the art that I do. And it's helped a lot with the stuff that I've dealt with since I've been back.
You feel like the stuff, the creativity that you can express here is kind of working through some of that crap?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, if I was doing another job, that's fine. But then I would be dealing with this stuff that's happening outside of work. Yeah. But it's nice to be able to come here and be able to, like, if you're having a rough day, like, you can say that you're having a rough day, where a lot of jobs, you got to leave that stuff at the door, and you don't bring your personal life into your work environment. And to be able to do that a bit here it helps a lot,
right?
To be able to talk to, I guess, your boss and say, like, I'm having a really tough day and I just want to cry. And they're like, okay, let's talk, you know, rather than, well, why did you bring that here? You should have left that at home.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a lot better of an environment that way.
And do you find that this program is helping you when the day comes to an end, when it's 5:30 and you're going back out into real life? Do you feel like knowing that this is here?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with having my daughter and, night times are quite stressful for us, and she's not a very good sleeper. And so if we've had a rough night, then to be able to do this art during the day, it's a really successful way to not just have that build up, to be able to come here and release, I guess, the emotions that I'm feeling, and not have it build up, and then the exact same thing when we get home. You know, I get to start fresh during the day, I guess, is what I feel. Is that
it's hard to project, but where do you hope you'll be at the end of this programming? By then, it'll be spring. What do you want to get out of this?
I think that, I mean, I don't really know what to expect yet, because there's been things that, even just in these couple weeks, that I wouldn't have thought would have happened. There's a lot of really cool, I guess, workshops that they do here. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a therapy dog come in the one day, and I wouldn't have expected that, but, like, to know, just to get information on that, and it kind of opened my eyes a bit to, like, other jobs, I guess, that are out there. And so, yeah, I don't know what to expect.
Maybe that's okay. Maybe every day being something undiscovered is what this is all about.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel is, I mean, yeah, just every day is different.
I'll let you get back to your house. Thank you for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Lisa.
Lisa, and you're drawing, but what's on your phone? Are you drawing a sketch that's on your phone?
Yep.
Can I see what it is before? Is this sort of the sketch you're inspired by?
Yep.
All right. So where are you originally from? Saskatchewan?
Yes.
Okay. And you found out about the Urban Canvas program. How?
I found out about it. Actually, here I was walking down and I saw other posters.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time, I was really struggling to find, like, a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, I don't have anything to lose if I apply for this. And I was really excited when I got in.
Right.
When I got the phone call, I was, like, so ecstatic.
Yeah.
I ran all the way to my best friend's house.
Really?
To tell him, but turns out he wasn't there.
Oh, no, you had nobody to tell?
He had a pet cat, so I told him.
Oh, you told the pet cat?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Tell me the pet cat didn't talk back. And had you had any kind of an artistic background before you came here? Do you knew you were interested in drawing?
Yeah, I've been really interested in art ever since I was little. all I ever mostly did was art in high school classes mm-hmm. and all that, but nothing really professional or anything right. like that.
Right. What do you think it is that they saw in you? And because you all went through an interview process, mm-hmm. right? What do you think it is that they saw in you that thought, yep, she's a great candidate for this? What's your sense of what they saw in you?
I guess they saw I had potential mm-hmm. and like they saw that I had like the ability to work towards like opening up mm-hmm. and
yeah, because there's more in this program than just art, right? You're doing yes. a lot of personal development yeah. things. What would you like to feel ready to do when you finish there? Yeah.
I think I would like to feel like that I could teach young people art. Oh. And not just art, but personal skills and life skills. And I think that's really important because I feel like young people don't know where to go. And I think art is a really good way to combine all of that and like help them learn while they're doing something they love.
So it sounds like you want to be for others what people are being for you right now.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best you can hope for in life at any time, but yeah. especially coming out of this kind of program that you can pay it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I think you're very, very lucky, all of you guys, to have SkyApp here and to have funding available to make this kind of a program happen. You must waking up every morning must be a little less stressful knowing yeah. that you've got here to come. And do you have the support of your family while you're here? Do they know, you know, that you're here?
Me and my family aren't really close okay, together. Close,
right. But you have friends that can support you, that yeah. are proud of you for being here?
Yeah.
That's great. That's important to have. Well, I hope that you get more than you could have imagined out of this program when it's all over. And that you have that opportunity to pass it on to somebody else. Right on. It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. Jordan,
mm-hmm.
how are you?
Good.
Tell me about your work here at SkyApp.
Okay.
What's your official position?
My official position, I think on my card it says Art and Personal Development Coordinator at this point.
Okay. All right.
I am also the full-time Urban Canvas program instructor and other things. I started here in 2009.
Okay.
So the first program I worked on was Urban Campus 9, I guess. My wife and I moved out from BC in 2007 to do our master's at the U of S.
Oh, in art, I take it?
Yes, in art.
What medium do you work in?
I kind of everything. My master's, my final show thesis was drawing and sculpture and photography, but I've worked in every medium, so... Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I started, after I finished my master's, I was also teaching. I still teach there occasionally at the U of S and then working here at SkyApp.
Right. Yeah. So Urban Canvas is basically your baby. You're responsible for the day in, day out nuts yeah. and bolts of making yeah. this happen.
Yes.
Tell me, because I've sort of left this out of all the conversations, what happens toward the end of this program? Are you literally working toward a big, massive Urban Canvas?
So the Urban Canvas, I think kind of the idea came from this idea that the final project ends up being some sort of large mural or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're training themselves up. So I'll run them through a first year university kind of drawing and painting course, get them through the basics. And then also they develop as a group together, and then as a group they end up doing these larger projects out in the city. So some of the previous groups, Urban Canvas 9, we did a large mural at the food bank.
Right.
Then with Jane's group and Jerry's group in Urban Canvas 10, we did a large mural at Comfy and a large mural at the Royal University Hospital. So once they had all the skills, then we could take them out and kind of do these community engagement sort of projects. Mm-hmm. So that would be the goal of this group as well, is at some point they'll get out in the community. We have at least one mural already lined up with Mawasin Valley to do. It'll kind of be an in-house mural that they'll end up putting up someplace. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's at their center or not, but after that we'll end up with working some other large mural into someplace.
So. So how many Urban Canvas programs have you actually been involved in then?
Well, this this is number three because
There was a break, right?
Yeah, after the Urban Canvas 10, there's been a break. So I was on to different projects after that, like the street graphics novel. And
You did do the street.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then also been doing random classes and working with some other art leaders, helping out like Jerry, who you've already spoke mm-hmm. to, kind of do... get him trained up in how to do his classes and help him out with that kind of stuff.
So through the Urban Canvas programs that you have been involved with, have you seen some pretty dramatic transformations in the lives of participants?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We've, even from my very first one, it was a very, like this group I have right now is really, they're really focused and they concentrate well and I love them a lot.
Hey, did you hear that, you guys? You're really focused and you concentrate well.
My first group was, they were really, really distracted and really, they had, their focus was kind of all over the place. But with some of their successes that they had, one woman's she's a carpenter now with the school board. Another woman is a pipe fitter or something like that. So they've gone on, even though it may not be, you know, any kind of art kind of related things, they really learned how to, you know, through having to be here doing the art, they really learned how to work together and how to get over that, those conflicts that they were kind of stopping them from succeeding in life, you know, having to deal with other people. They got over that and they were able to really achieve a lot in their own lives. So
yeah, because it's more than just art, right? You're doing personal development.
The personal development, it's a lot just through them being here and having to work through their issues instead of being able to run away or something like that. They actually work through the problems slowly. And then we give them that space to work through that slowly. And it gives them opportunities so that when they get into another workplace where maybe it's not as forgiving, they know how to handle the stresses. So.
Right. As an artist yourself, do you think that... that's the power of art, is to be able to work through all of that stuff? I mean, I'm not saying, not to sound exclusive as it being the only way, but it's certainly a pretty powerful way, yeah?
I think, I mean, that's always been my kind of thought, is art is work, and there's no difference in whether it's working with a shovel or working with a pencil. Mm-hmm. And so you have to stick, you know, it's learning how to stick to it and, you know, finish off the problem and so I think that's what they get here, is they slowly learn that all work is just work, and it's whether you want to put in that effort or not.
Were you part of the interviewing process?
Yeah, I was interviewed every single person here.
So how many candidates did you interview?
I think for this program we did 40-ish. And, you know, we only had a little take 12, so...
So what was it that you were looking for?
I think when you're looking at the different participants, we're taking a lot of people that are in at-risk kind of situations, and it's whether they're at that point in their lives to make a change, because we can only affect them so much. If they're not willing to put in the effort, or even, you know, look like they even have a thought of putting in the effort, then we know we're not going to be successful with them. So, but there's lots of people that are right at, you know, they find this program right at that point where they think they're ready to make a change and they just need a little bit of a helping hand, and that's where we're able to really be successful. Whereas if we were interviewing people maybe that were still dealing with some heavy addictions and that kind of stuff, and we know at that point it's not going to be the most successful if we can't get them past that first, and that's not something we're that set up to do. But it's for these others that have kind of made that shift or gotten past that or something, that they're able to really be successful.
It must have been a great day to call the 12 that were accepted,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let them know. I mean, I've already talked to a couple of them that it was a huge day in their life when they got word.
Definitely.
It stopped for the period of time that it stopped because of funding issues, right?
Yes. Our program used to be funded through Service Canada, and their funding model changed from long-term projects that was what Urban Canvas was run through before, so kind of 8-month sort of long-term, maybe more funding towards each individual, to Service Canada changed to a model of like 30-day programs, trying to run as many numbers through as possible, which doesn't... work with our project structure. And as it's set up now the province is funding this program exclusively with a few other partners that we've kind of put together. But being it through the province now, the project was able to go, and we were able to actually kind of structure it almost slightly, not too much looser, but a little bit looser than the Service Canada. We're able to, you know, Service Canada, if you had any kind of work history, you really didn't have an opportunity to take the program. Whereas here, if you might have fallen on some hard times, but you had worked in the past, we were still able to kind of help you out. So it's been good.
Is this sort of, in the grand scheme of things, what you kind of hoped you'd wind up doing as you were winding down your master's program?
To have an opportunity here, like, I've always had a history of coaching and doing that kind of stuff as well in my background, so it was really kind of a great combination of the two.
Yeah, because you kind of have to be prepared to take on some emotional coaching as well, right?
Yeah, which is, you know, different, but it's something you kind of learn as you go.
Well, I sense that they all have a feeling it's a safe space for
them. Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing that we can do is set up a safe space, and then the rest kind of, it's not that it works itself out, but it almost does. It gives them a place to kind of work through what they need to work through.
What happens on the 20th of November?
The 20th of November is their first exhibit, so it's an opportunity to kind of open up the program. It's an opportunity for them to show the skills that they may have developed over the last few weeks, because we only started on the 24th of September.
Right.
And then it's just a celebration of, you know, their new beginning. And then when we roll around to, I think, May 20th is our final day of the program, we'll have a big closing reception and a big closing art show. So they kind of see, it's almost like a chance to see where you're at, and then at the end kind of wrap everything up.
So do they have to make a presentation on the 20th?
On the 20th, it's a regular kind of art exhibit. So the show that we're working on was, these guys seem to have a lot of skills and a lot of different areas that they like to work in. So in previous incarnations, we had maybe one project or one style of drawing that we'd work on, and that would be their first show. With this, I was able to open it up and offer them the idea of going to the local history room in Saskatoon, since everybody's either from there or we're working here now. Mm-hmm. And pick out something interesting in Saskatoon's history that they found, and then make an art piece about that. So they'll be kind of having those up and around. And then on the day when we have all the people here, we have like the mayor is coming, and our few MLAs are coming, and the police chief and the fire chief, and that they'll have an opportunity to speak and, you know, say where they're at, or, you know, do some kind of welcoming sort of stuff, and just have an opportunity to show off what they've done. So the building's always full, so it's always alive, so it's great to see.
It's a creative hub, this place.
Definitely.
That's great. Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, no problem.
We face challenges every day, all of us, and one of the biggest things about Urban Canvas is we want to try and get people an opportunity, young people an opportunity to have some challenges. And maybe get stronger through some of the diversity that they have in life, and also some of the challenges and adversity that we put forth to them in the over 8 months that they're with us. So I want to thank, first of all of our Urban Canvas participants. It's an absolute pleasure, and it's a dream come true when we have an opportunity to work with 12 people that are really looking for something more in life. And if we can do a tiny, tiny part of that, to be a part of that, a tiny part of that, then that's what makes it all worthwhile. So I want to thank all of them. And I have a few just special thank yous here that I want to add. First of all, back to our initial acknowledgement of people, the Honorable Gord Wyatt, and he's the Minister of Justice. And I'm so happy to have a friend and also one of our best ministers here. With everyone else. So thank you to Gord. A couple other things. A fellow by the name of Laurie Pusher, he's the Deputy Minister, the Minister of the Economy. I'm not sure if Laurie's here. He's dealing with the refugee issue, actually, in the legislature now, I believe. So he couldn't make it, but he was planning to make it. And Laurie's a big part also of why we're here. Laurie came to me probably about 6 months ago and said, you know, you've got a really good program going here. It made big dividends for the city and the province. They think there's an opportunity that we can get that program going again. So with Lori's leadership, and then obviously people like the Honorable Don Morgan and our other ministers and MLAs, we were able to get Urban Canvas 11 going after a five-year wait. So I want to thank all of our provincial government, and I want to thank Lori Pusher. There's another individual that's here that I want to give thanks to, and it goes way back to 2001. I get a little emotional when I talk about this person because when I came here with just nothing really, just an idea, I was an unknown here. I literally just moved in here 6 months before. I didn't know a soul here. And I went looking for funding for this this idea and this program that I had. And Service Canada answered one of my calls. There was a couple of program officers at Service Canada that kind of stepped outside the box, and they said, you know what, we've never seen anything like this before. This is incredibly innovative. This is something that we should take a shot at. And I know that they lobbied their superiors there at Service Canada, and we got our first one going in 2001. So as much as I want to thank our provincial government and everybody that's got this one going, it still leads back to 2001. And Jennifer Stelzer is here. She was a program officer in 2001. She's now a manager in WD Western Development. But I owe a big thanks to Jennifer for, number one, being a bureaucrat that steps outside the box and is willing to take a chance. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And I want to give a good shout-out to, and we mentioned them, but I need to mention them again, is our coordinators of this Urban Canvas, George Schwab, Jane McWhirter, and Marcel Petit. These people aren't saying anything today, but they're with our group every day, 5 days a week, from Monday to Friday, from 10:30 till 5 p.m., and you know, they're the ones that are really, really making the difference right with the people that we work with. There's a number of us that do stuff with the group as well, but those are the three lead coordinators of this project, so I really want to acknowledge them. And if you all come back for the graduation in May, you'll see more of them, because they're going to have pieces up here doing presentations to these wonderful, intelligent, incredibly cool youth that we have. And they'll be saying a little bit about each and every one of them, because after 9 months of practically living with them, they're going to know a lot about them. So I would encourage you to come back to that. I'm so proud of our group, and I'm so looking forward to spending the next 6 months with them and watching them grow more and more. I want to thank Tammy, because Tammy is Tammy. Tammy does a whole lot with Urban Campus. As you know, we are a sponsor of the Urban Campus. We have a considerable amount of donation in kind going, and Tammy's part of that donation in kind. So I want to acknowledge her, and I want to acknowledge our bookkeeper. I don't think Cindy's here, but she's also puts a lot of hours in that aren't paid for, that that are covered as donation in kind. So I want to thank all of them. And I want to thank Sue Stewart, who is the former grants coordinator for the city of Saskatoon. She's also a former grants coordinator with the Canada Council. Sue was with us for a number of years, and she moved to Gimli. But she's still with us whenever I need any type of advice on certain matters. Plus, today, I want to thank her because she sent a dozen flowers, individually wrapped flowers for all of our participants, sent them, and I'm wondering if they have them or not, but they're going to get them. They're here. So I want to thank Sue for that, even though she's not here. You know, again, I want to thank our police chief, our fire chief, our ministers, our MLAs, our MPs, Kelly and Sherry. It's just you know, it's just a it's an absolute pleasure, and it's very heartfelt, and I can't thank you enough. I want to thank everyone else for coming. If we don't have you, we don't have a place here. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening. The SaaScapes podcast is created and hosted by Kevin Power for SaaS Culture. Funding to the cultural sector is provided through the Saskatchewan Lottery's Trust Fund for Sport, Culture, and Recreation. For more information, visit iHeartCulture.ca and SaaSculture.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at SaaScapes and at Kevin Power Live. Music for SaaScapes is provided by Saskatchewan-born singer-songwriter Jeffrey Straker. These are our stories, Saskatchewan, and they have no end. So tell me, what's yours?